the Pillars of Health podcast with strength coach John Carroll, coming to you from the Movement Lab in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're about to dive into everything you need to know when it comes to strength and conditioning, nutrition, sleep, and stress management. Check us out on MovementLabRally.com and CoachJohnCarroll.com. And now your host, John Carroll.
Welcome to the Pillars of Health podcast, everyone. Today, I am very excited to talk to Diana Matuzak. Welcome to the podcast, Diana.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to do this with you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to chatting and picking your brain today. And before we get rolling into everything that you delve in and work on a daily basis, let's talk icebreaker question. And I'm just going to ask you, travel-wise, what's one place you really want to visit and why?
I love this question because my answer is everywhere. No. But the number one place on my list right now is Bora Bora. And I'm really hoping to go there for my honeymoon. And the why part, honestly, I don't know. I've always been a beach girl. So the fact that you can stay in a little hut over the water is just everything I've dreamed of.
Yes. I've seen footage and videos and pictures of that. And it looks ideal.
It definitely does. Yes. Like a once in a lifetime sort of a thing.
For sure.
Have to get there.
Yeah. Bora Bora definitely has that like island escape type of environment about it, right?
Right. It's like Disney World. You can't like not be happy there.
Right. Exactly. And what date are you getting married?
August 31st. It's Labor Day weekend.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited.
It's getting very excited. Yeah, it's building up, right?
Oh, it's like it's come so fast already. I'm just waiting for the next 3 months to just I'm gonna blink and then we're gonna be there.
Exactly.
Which is
exactly.
Scary.
Yeah, it will go by pretty fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for everyone listening, let's kind of delve into your background and just your journey. Obviously, we want to talk about overcoming some disordered eating early on in life, and obviously now you're a holistic health coach, and just kind of fill everybody in on that.
Yeah, sure. So that question is loaded for me because I have probably one of the most extensive, well, I shouldn't say that. I've gone from one side of the spectrum to the other mm-hmm. at different points in my life. So when I was around 10 or 11 years old, I was diagnosed with insulin resistance syndrome. So for people who don't know what that is, it's like pre-type 2 diabetes. Basically, if you don't change your ways now, you're going to have type 2 diabetes, which another little side note, type 2 diabetes is, or it was previously named like adult onset diabetes, mm-hmm. meaning most adults get it from lifestyle habits. Okay. And I was about 10 years old. So if that tells you something, I was not a nutritionally healthy child. And I do not blame my parents one bit. I grew up in a small town. Nutrition was not known about, you know, wasn't a popular thing. Mm-hmm. And we just ate what we ate and that was it. Definitely during the time of processing and really degrading our food. Mm-hmm. I was definitely a processed food eater. So that's kind of like the younger me background. I got insulin resistance syndrome, went to a nutritionist, and it turned into this whole like family effort to help me turn it around. So thank God, because I think it would have been really difficult for me if it was only me, right? When I was that
for
young, being the one at school with during the ice cream sundae day, you know, I couldn't partake in that. I couldn't do that.
Right.
So yeah, it was a family effort to kind of turn everything around. And there did come a point when I understood food and I learned to really like healthy food. And I lost some weight, became a healthier child. And that was kind of that from there, right? Mm-hmm. I went through high school very active, played all the sports, enjoyed healthy eating, but I didn't quite have to worry about what I ate just because that teenager metabolism was really on my side.
For sure, yeah.
And then I went to college and I recently wrote a book. It's called To Kale and Back. But in my book, I talk about how the freshman 15 should be called the, like, freshman go and drink at your best friend's neighbor's house until you find yourself 30 pounds heavier. It's not just the freshman 15. It's like, it's a whole load of things.
Yeah, for sure.
So no matter how much I swore to myself, I would not be that person that went to school and just gained weight. I was, and I hated it. And when I went into college, I was a very confident girl. I didn't have a, you know, quote unquote perfect body, but I was confident. I was fine with the way I looked. And I went into college just having fun, having a blast. Mm-hmm. But then by the end of freshman year, I didn't feel like that version of myself anymore. I was self-conscious. I was uncomfortable. I didn't like the way that I looked. I could tell that I had gained weight. And what once began as me just wanting to get back to that really confident girl that I was before, regardless of how many muscles you could see or whatever, mm-hmm. I just wanted to feel myself again.
Right.
And so I researched every night. I went on Pinterest all the time to look for healthy weight loss. And what I thought was healthy turned into an obsession of applying every rule that I read, every guideline that every guru told me I had to do. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was so obsessed with food, obsessed with weight loss, obsessed with being skinnier and thinner, that I had actually gotten thinner than that girl I was going into college. But I couldn't even see that looking in the mirror at me because it was never enough. I never had enough muscles. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a very long story short, but just to show you that, you know, I didn't care about muscles, and it turned into something that my life revolved around looking a certain way, and it affected my relationships, it affected my mental health, it affected everything, yeah. which brought me to where I am today. It was so scary to me how easy it was to fall into that. You know, I'd swore that I would never be a girl with an eating disorder. I was like, I like food too much. I don't get that. And right. there I was struggling with, you know, two different forms really of extremely disordered eating, mm-hmm. which I truly believe that God put me on that long path from being overweight and not knowing what makes a food healthy to being completely obsessed with food and only eating the healthiest of the healthy for this reason, so that I could help other people either not go through it mm-hmm. or get out of it and just make health easy and fun again, because right. it doesn't have to be as hard as everybody makes
right.
it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a remarkable journey, and definitely I feel to a certain extent a lot of people have some sort of experience maybe similar to that, maybe not quite as in depth, right? And mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, it's just one of these experiences where, you know, kind of getting back to your childhood,
right.
and you know, you had your type 2 diabetes early onset and insulin resistance there, where today we're seeing kids have or be diagnosed with diabetes very early on, just to add to the American diet, right?
Right, right. And that's it too, like, why I'm doing this, just to show that, number one, nutrition is so important. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure we're eating real food so that our children grow up and live as long as we do. It's so scary that kids are getting diagnosed, you know, as young as like 6 and 7 years old, and right. maybe some even younger. Like, that's a problem,
yeah.
you know? And we are also in the age of body positivity and all of that, which I am 100% body positive. But what I mean by saying that is we're kind of like accepting of, well, these are just my unhealthy ways. This is me. I need to love myself the way I am. Yes. And
right.
let's be the healthiest version of ourselves too, right?
Right,
you get
exactly.
to be that happy, you know, eating really good for you foods that taste amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah,
and I think kind of getting to what you just mentioned about body positivity, it's fine because not everyone fits into the Victoria's Secret model
right.
category, right?
You know, like,
right. people have shapes, and you know, that's totally fine, and not everybody is a one size fits all. But at the same time, we want to be healthy. We want to be able to extend the amount of time we live, obviously, but also enjoy our lives at the same time. And that's where what you kind of said about not only enjoying the food you eat, but being able to eat whatever you want, but obviously in moderation here and there.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because if being a Victoria's Secret model looking sort of girl is what, you know, constituted being pretty, well, I'd be screwed, right? Or so many other people would be screwed too, because that's just not natural. And for many of us, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But like you said, it's about understanding like healthy food and knowing that moving your body is important, and eating foods that help you live your best life. Like that's what's important. And it's not just about loving yourself where you are and the way you are. It's about loving yourself enough to be the healthiest version of you inside and out. And I'm huge on mental health too. So I think that going in with the approach and the mindset of I'm doing this for me and to live a long life and to be the best mom I can be or husband I can be or whatever it may be, you know, going into it with that aspect instead of just like thinking about the body, because it's about so much more than the body.
Right. Yeah. I think you totally nailed it there. And that's a really great mindset to have, because we definitely get caught up like focusing on the physical.
Yeah. And I think that's what trips up so many people and causes them to give up too, because they're like, well, I don't look the way that I feel like I should look. Well, let's take looks out of it. How do you feel?
Right.
You know, can you do your job well? Do you come home and you're excited to go for a walk with your partner or play with the kids or go on a date or wherever you are in your life? Can you live your life to the fullest? That's what we really need to look at.
Right. And kind of touching on the mental side of things, you know, when you were very deep in obviously the obsession of trying to eat everything healthy and exercise as much as you can and stuff like that, how did you know, or when did you identify it was kind of time mentally to get out of that?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Because there was a long period of time that I had no idea.
Right.
I could not recognize it. I was like, I'm just being fit. This is what it takes to be a fit person. And I didn't consciously, maybe subconsciously, my mind was like, die, come on, get your shit together.
But
consciously I was like, no, this is what it takes. This is what I have to do. And I remember specifically one day I was getting ready to go to a tailgate for a football game, and I started to eat an apple because I was hungry. Mm-hmm. And then two bites in, I threw it away because I was afraid of the sugar and the carbs right before I was going to go have some drinks that I was already afraid to have because I thought they were going to make me gain fat.
Right.
And that was a major light bulb moment for me to be like, Dai, come on, you just threw away an apple. Like, that's a healthy food. Come on.
Yeah.
And that's when I really understood, like, okay, I've gone way too far. And now I need to dig myself out of this hole.
Right. And I think that's good for people to hear, because I think that happens a lot more than a lot of people would admit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And, you know, looking back when you were in this time period of just like pure obsession, what was your general mindset like? How, like, happiness wise, where were you on the scale? And
Yeah. I think that there were many different points at that time, because at first I was happy. I was like, I'm finally starting to feel good again. I'm working out. I feel amazing after my workouts. I'm eating healthier. I'm losing weight. I feel better about myself. And it came a point where it went from feeling better to, well, now I've done this. Now I need abs.
Right.
Now I need a six pack. Now I need to have zero cellulite and really low body fat. And that's when it turned into an obsession. And that's when it also turned from me being happy to me being anxious and concerned about food all the time, obsessing about what I was eating, obsessing about what I was going to eat later or tomorrow, or would it fit into the macros that I needed to have? And I was not happy at all. I was in a relationship that I knew I shouldn't be in. It was an unhealthy relationship. I retreated from my friends. I tried to isolate myself because that's where I felt comfortable. If I were to hang around my friends or confront the fact that I didn't need to be with that person anymore, that was me confronting the fact that I need help. And I am in this way too far. I'm not doing it for the right reasons. I'm not happy. The mindset was just part of me saying, well, when I get abs, then I'll be happier. And then I can make these life decisions. Then I can leave him. Then I can go back to my friends and try and nurture those relationships. But there was a really strong part of me that was like, well, you can't do that until you have the abs. You're not worthy of that life until you have the abs,
right.
Which I did not recognize at that point. That was what I believed.
Right.
Looking back, 100%. That's exactly, I was like, I'm not worthy of being that person that I used to be unless I look like this, unless, you know, guys aren't going to like me unless I look like this. I'm not going to have the friendships that I want to have unless I look like this, because then I'll be, you know, a desirable friend, which is so, like, you say it out loud and you're like, gosh, that's so dumb. But it's what I believed, and it's what so many other women believe too.
Yeah.
So it did become a point when I was like, this is not worth it. I'm not happy. I feel stuck in a black hole. How the heck do I get out?
Yeah. That's a really, really good insight, because I've come across that quite a lot. And it's like you just said, it's that mindset of, once I get to this body that I totally desire, then everything else will kind of fall into place, right? Whereas it's kind of like the opposite of that. I'm very glad you brought that up. It's crazy. And just to get like some insight from you, where do you think that comes? Do you think it's just the media ideal of like what female and male bodies should look like just driven into our heads over and over again? Or where do we get that from?
I love this question, but I think that it is years and years and years of the media saying, look at this person, they're the most beautiful person of the year. Mm-hmm. Look at this body, like this is perfect. Do this diet and get this body and then you'll be desirable. Like, do this workout and then you'll have abs and you can get that bikini that you wanted for the summer.
Right.
It's years and years of the media having that at the forefront of our minds, so much so that we believe it and we begin to teach it.
Yeah.
And we teach it to our friends, we teach it to our kids, we teach it to our parents, you know, and it's a long ingrained pattern that we have all made as a society, that really is driving certain industries.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, so many companies out there, and I'm not trying to badmouth these companies because I know they all probably started from a very good place.
Right.
They started from trying to want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the way marketing is these days. It's like, buy this and you'll drop 20 pounds in a month. Well, first of all, dropping 20 pounds in a month probably isn't very healthy in the first place.
Exactly.
And it's full of empty promises when, like we were just talking about, if we approached it with, what if you said that if I just added 10% more happiness to my life,
mm-hmm.
all of my health and fitness goals would become that much easier to make, which is the approach that I come from.
Right.
Because I 100% believe that. I did not do that at all. I was like, no, when I get the body, then the happiness comes.
Yeah.
And I got the body and the happiness got even further.
Right.
So I think it's definitely these long ingrained stories of, you can't be happy, you can't be that confident, happy person, you can't have that life that you want until you have the body in order. When we have body goals, that's the way we think.
Yeah.
And it's you're exactly right. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, especially, you know, owning a training facility, we come across people who come in with different, very, very, very varied ideas of what good training is, right? And
mm-hmm.
and what a healthy lifestyle is. And like you said, there's so much selling from different companies in the media, you know, 30-day this or abs,
yeah.
you know, 2 weeks and stuff like this. Whereas that's sexy, you know, that sells.
Right.
Whereas I'm like, well, if you're consistent for 6 months,
yeah.
you will set up some really good habits. You know, that's not sexy.
Yes. Oh gosh, I wrote a sentence like exactly like that in my book. I was like, lose 20 pounds with this soup diet is super sexy on a magazine, whereas have some vegetables and maybe a donut sometimes too. It's like people are like, ah, that's boring.
I know.
I don't want to read that.
For sure.
Like,
exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. Well, you have you transformed into a holistic health coach, correct?
Yes.
And you have set up your own business, and you're working towards your master's in transformational mindset coaching.
I actually have it.
Oh, congrats. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So I just want to kind of ask you, like, what are some of the outstanding lessons you've learned when it comes to, like, mindset and really just the psychological side of things in order to help people live their best life?
Yeah. Well, that was something that was another major light bulb moment for me when I started being trained as a holistic health coach. They started talking about the mindset and I was like, oh my God, this is gold. Like, why have I never heard this before? And I went on to get my master's in transformational mindset coaching because that is really what makes the transformation. And that's what makes success. And I didn't realize until I was in that training, like, wow, my mindset and my subconscious patterns are all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's why this has been so hard for me. And when you can be in charge of your mind, not control it, but be in charge of it, understand it, understand your triggers, be aware of your patterns, be aware of the load of BS that your subconscious is feeding you and what's actually true for you, that's when you can truly begin to change your life. So I come from the belief that if you're ready, if you are ready to show up for yourself and make the transformation, you've got to do the inner work and you've got to do the mindset stuff first. I find that a lot of people, it's like you need to give them a taste of it first. And then they're like, oh, that's what that is. Like, now I get it. Because at first it's kind of, people might see it as, well, that's just a bunch of woo-woo. I don't have time for that. I just want to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it. But why? Like, what's going to change when you're 20 pounds lighter? What do you want from that?
Right.
And then you kind of slowly feed in that mindset work and they're like, oh, okay, I get it. It's not about my body.
Mm-hmm. It really can be the awakening, right? And we have a saying where we coach, and, you know, after the first couple of sessions with a new member, you know, we're going from a strength coach to a therapist, mm-hmm. because the mindset is what it's all about, you know?
Right.
And not just like training mindset, but also, like you said, approach to nutrition, approach to lifestyles, like in sleep and stress management. So, yeah, mm-hmm. totally, yeah, you're totally right when it comes to mindset. It's 90% mindset, yeah.
And I'm sure that you've seen as a trainer too that, you know, extremes obviously go in both ways. And many people begin to, their life depends on that workout. And mm-hmm. if they don't get that workout in, the day was ruined. And we really need to step back and say, why are you so attached to this workout? What area of your life are you so unhappy with? And this is not a judgmental thing. This is not a let me beat myself up more. Right. This is a let me look at my life and see what I really need to change so that I can be the happiest, best version of me.
Yeah.
So you say, are you taking on too much at work? Are you really unfulfilled at work? Are you in a relationship you shouldn't be in? You know, all of the questions, and say, what is it that you're trying to cover up right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much nailed on, because, I mean, there's always something that's not getting addressed, and it's usually being covered up by some area that's kind of taken over your life. And, it could be exercise, it could be, you know, in extreme cases, it could be drug addiction or something like this, but there's usually something masking the true underlying cause, right?
Right, right, and that's the same with food. Like, food and exercise can be just as addictive in the brain as smoking or drugs or alcohol. And I don't think it's quite seen in that light anymore, that, you know, just because you're not going home and drinking a bottle of wine doesn't mean that going home and running for 4 hours because you're mad at yourself is a healthy alternative,
right.
You know, where there comes a point when it is too far.
Yes.
1 hour, yeah, when you feel good and you come back and you rest properly, totally.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there comes a point when it becomes too far, and that's just as unhealthy as not working out at all or taking it out on drugs or, you know, fill in the blank.
Right. Yeah. The mindset of kind of using exercise to punish yourself is something we come across quite a lot, and kind of expelling that and saying, like, no, like, exercise is something to help you enhance the quality of your life rather than take away and make you feel crappy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's supposed to make everything more fun.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for people listening, like, so if we were to go through like an example of a new client intake for you, right? How would you approach someone coming in who maybe has some issues when it comes to eating disorders or just like a negative relationship with food?
Yeah. So I think that's one thing that more people have a really unhealthy relationship with food in their body than they like to think, just because you're not diagnosed as having an eating disorder. And I'm not trying to make that light, like that's a huge thing. But if you are, you know, constantly thinking about food, or food makes you anxious and you get really stressed out about it, like those are very important things to tackle as well. So I think it begins with uncovering, like, what does your relationship with food in your body look like? And what do you want it to look like? Right. What's the gap between what it is and what you want it to be? And then I always begin with, number one, why do you want this? So most of the time, people come to me and they either want a better relationship with food, they want to be able to live their life, but they also want to be in a body that they're confident in, right, or they just want to lose weight and get that confidence, which maybe that person's not quite as far on the mindset work as the first person or something along those lines. So we look at, okay, why do you want that? Why do you want this certain body? Why do you want to be 20 pounds lighter? What are you going for? What do you think that that new version of you is going to give you in your life that you don't feel that you have right now? And it's usually along the lines of, you know, I want to feel myself dating again. I want to feel worthy of a really amazing person. I want to get that promotion at work. I want to show up for myself. I want to be seen. I want to speak up. I want to share my ideas and get that promotion. I want to have the energy to be the mom that I really want to be, because right now I come home and I'm exhausted and I don't even want to talk. But I want to be that mom that comes home and plays games, or, you know, cooks with the kids, or something like that. It's usually something much deeper that hits on one of the other areas of life. So I always talk about the different areas of life, which are spirituality, relationships, career and money, health and fitness. So what area of life are you really looking to improve, and how are you relating that back to your body? And I think it's important to note too that I am 100% like, if you want to have a certain body and you want to have a certain fitness level, I don't think there's anything wrong with that when you come at it from the mindset of, I want to be the best version of me. Right. And that is part of the criteria of the best version of me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's look at everything else too.
Right.
So that's kind of where we break it down. And that's how I say you get sort of daily motivation. Not every day you're going to be motivated. Absolutely not. But when you remember back to why you started and what is it that you're really working towards, it's going to help you get off the couch and get on the treadmill, or get to the gym, or put the donut down, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So I think that that is the most important part, is always bringing it back to, what does the best version of you look like? What are you going for, and how can we make the steps to get to that person? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, that's really good. And I love the way you kind of start with why, you know, and obviously the book Start With Why, it definitely gets to the root of, like, why do I want to do this? You know? So, it's really an all-encompassing type approach, because you're not just focusing on one area, you're focusing on the whole scope of things. So that's really good. Yeah.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then in relation to nutrition, and what are some common themes that kind of pop up for you when you're working with clients?
A few common themes are, number one, I have horrible cravings. Number two, I don't know when to indulge. Or number three, I take out my stress or my boredom on food.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two are kind of tackled in the same way, meaning when you have cravings or you don't know when to indulge, it means you're not really living a balanced nutritional lifestyle. So cravings, just as eating more sugar makes you crave more sugar, eating more broccoli makes you crave more broccoli.
Right.
So we set it up so that you begin to eat really balanced meals so that your blood sugar is constant well, not constant, you know what I mean? It's more stable. Right. It's not having those drastic highs and lows. And that really helps with cravings. But I also bring in that indulging aspect, because life without dessert is just not a life that I'm willing to live. Right, so right. I teach that to my clients. Yes, that would be a horrible life.
Exactly.
So I like to teach that our number one goal is always ingredients and the quality of your food. So if you are most of the time eating real, whole, nutritious foods from the earth, that's amazing. So say that you are craving a burger and fries. Awesome. Eat the burger and fries, but let's make it a little bit healthier, right? Let's get really good meat. Let's get some buns that are made with good ingredients, or maybe do like a portobello bun, or just a real deal. That's what I like to do.
Right.
Let's make some homemade fries in the oven instead of frying them. Let's have a side salad too. Like, there's always, no matter what it is, there's always a way to make things healthier.
Yes.
So that is my approach. I also say that I eat dessert every night. It's just a fact. Yeah. And that in itself has helped cravings subside, because when your body gets flooded with all of that nutritious food, it's like, oh, okay, this is how that's supposed to work.
Right.
Give me more of that.
Yeah.
And then you crave the better food.
Yeah.
And along with that, you know, you're on a date and you just want to have the chocolate lava cake, eat the darn chocolate lava cake, right? Not doing it every day.
Exactly.
So that's okay. And that third one, the emotional or stress or boredom piece of covering up our emotions with food. Many people do this and they don't realize it. It's just a pattern. It's a habit. And that's where we go back to that inner mindset work. And we say, okay, well, what is it that you're going for? Is this popcorn stress relief? Is this popcorn covering the fact that you're alone tonight? Is it covering up the fact that you miss so-and-so, or you're unhappy at work and you wish you had a different job? You know, it's looking at those things and saying, well, what am I really unhappy with? And why am I covering it up with food?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really awesome approach. And I think it's definitely going to be almost definitely enlightening, but also freeing to a lot of people to hear you say that, because the fact that you get to enjoy your dessert and also you're making a conscious effort to eat healthy and real food, like that approach is obviously showing people, okay, you can have both and enjoy your life. It doesn't have to be this series of restrictions over and over. And then like you're building up to this one day when you can have these foods, but like, let's live life now, right?
Right. Yes, exactly. The point of being the healthiest version of you is to live a really, really amazing life.
Yeah.
And you should get to live that really amazing life today. And if that amazing life includes pancakes and wine, then it should be included.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And that was something that I think in college I was like, no, I can't have that pasta that I really want because I don't have that body yet. And like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
You're never going to be satisfied if you come from that point. So number one, it can always be made healthier. And number two, just eat the darn thing.
Exactly. All right. I love that approach. Fantastic. So I was checking out your website recently, obviously getting ready for our chat. And two things that really stood out to me, and they were the grocery guide and the Sunday success checklist. And I love these two things, but can you kind of fill everybody in on what they are?
Yeah, for sure. So the grocery guide is something that I made because I have found that with a lot of my clients, they're like, I go to the grocery store, I don't know what to get, I come back, I don't know what meals to make, dinner doesn't taste good, I'm not enjoying what I'm eating. And I'm like, yeah, I totally get that. So my grocery guide begins with, what are your meal ideas? So breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's come up with a few different options for each. So what I actually like to do is, I'm pretty much a creature of habit when it comes to breakfast. There's like two breakfasts that I have and I don't really stray away from them.
Okay.
So as long as I have the ingredients for those, I'm good. And then what I love to do is cook dinner every night. So I have a fresh dinner. We have some variety in there. It's really healthy. And I make a double batch so that I have the leftovers for lunch the next day.
Nice.
So then you just like pop it in the microwave. You're good to go.
Yeah.
So it begins with choosing those meals that you want, and then we break down the ingredients. What are the ingredients that you need? And then I have it broken down on the guide in terms of like where it is in the store. So is it in the produce aisle? Is it in the frozen aisle? Is it in the meat section? So that way it just kind of takes the stress away from going to the store and being like, well, what do I need? And am I going to get everything that I need? Or becoming the proud mother of aisle seven, which I do sometimes when I don't have a list.
Right, right.
So that's where that came from with the grocery guide, just to help making grocery shopping not be this huge hour and a half long task that you have, and just to be organized and not get things, not overspend on foods that you don't need, have to throw things away, and also keep that variety and deliciousness and with your meals for the week.
Yeah. Well, before you get into the Sunday success checklist, yeah. I think the grocery guide is awesome because you're giving people a plan, because when you go into a grocery store with no plan, you are at the mercy of what you see.
Yeah.
You know, and then it can be just, like you said, it can be Oreos and chocolate from there.
Right. It's like, ooh, tortilla chips? Yes, I need those.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think going in, like, I'm a planner, which brings me to Sunday success checklist. But if it's not written down or planned for me, it's not happening. Right. So I find that when I introduce the grocery guide to my clients, they're like, wow, it's so much easier. It only took me 30 minutes instead of 2 hours. Yeah, totally. So onto the Sunday success checklist, I have certain things that I do every Sunday that help make my week go smoothly. They help make my week have a little bit more happiness in it and make my Sunday a little bit more of a fun day. So I love that quote that's like, a Sunday well spent brings a week of content, I think is the way
Very
it goes.
Good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love that quote, and it is so true for me. So part of what I do on Sunday is I ensure that I do something fun. I ensure that I get outside. I ensure that I plan my week. So I have this whole written out, like, basically another checklist within a checklist to say, like, this is what I do on Sunday to make sure that I get everything I need to get done in the week without it being overwhelming. Because before I had this little weekly planning routine, I found that I would schedule like 24 hours worth of work into like 6 hours, which obviously just stressed me out, made me super overwhelmed. I was like, why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Why is this not done yet? So I get really detailed. I write down everything that needs to be done for the week, from work things to personal things to social things. And then I write it down like hour by hour in my written down planner. And some people like Google, but I like to write things down.
Yes.
And I write it down and I estimate how long is each of these tasks going to take me. So say that I need to, I have like a campaign for work that I'm working on and it takes me 3 hours. So I would write it down from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. And then at 11 p.m. I would write down the next task that I need to do. And that just helps me realize that I'm making my daily schedule realistically so that, because me and stress, like, we are, you know, attached at the hip. So that's something that I've really been working on. And this has helped me so much so that I also schedule in at night, like, okay, from 8 p.m. on, I'm not doing anything related to work. I am calming down my brain, whatever that looks like for me, and scheduling in space and time so that I know that I'm going to be productive and efficient, but I'm also not going to lose my marbles along the way.
Right, right, for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of my Sunday checklist, just to make sure that you have everything set up for the week and you're having a fun Sunday.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a non-negotiable for me for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, is your life running you or are you running your life? And I think with this organization, like the grocery guide and the Sunday success checklist, because these are normally things people will do on the weekend, right? So what you do there, you're basically taking any sort of mental energy out of having to decide or what to do, whereas you can just follow these steps.
Yeah.
And this is just so much easier for people to get on board with, right?
Yeah, totally. I like the way that you phrased that, because it is taking the mental energy out. That's the part that's overwhelming and stressful. Mm-hmm. So if we just break it down and make that part easier, then you're off and flying.
Yes, exactly. That's definitely something when I saw that, and you know, I've used this with clients I've coached before, like the grocery guide and just having a success checklist, and the way you put them on your website, I think that's awesome. And that may be something that will help people organize their life slash, you know, grocery shopping, which is always challenging.
Right. Yeah, it was really important for me to have some free things on my website just because, like, I want you to have every tool in your toolbox that you need. So I try and come up with, like, how can I make someone's life just a little bit easier today? So those are some of my things that I'm like, here, take the stress out of grocery shopping.
Right, right. And that's something I forgot to mention. Yeah, they are free on your website. So definitely head on over there and check those out, guys. And I will include a link in the show notes to those. And yeah, you've actually been busy. So you have an e-course and a book. So yeah, let's get into those. The e-course is Thrive, Food, Fitness, and Life.
Yeah, so I love that you said I've been busy because whenever someone asks me, they're like, what's new? My go-to response is, oh, nothing. But I'm like, wait, no, that is so not true. So the e-course Thrive Food, Fitness, and Life is a six-week e-course that's self-paced. It's all online. It's video tutorials. And it's basically, I wanted to take the main asking points from my private coaching clients and put them into an online course that you could just download and do on your own, because I have so many people who want to work together, but maybe they're an accountant and they work, you know, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. And they're like, I just don't have time for a private call.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put this in, and there are people who really want the help, but admitting that they want the help is a scary step. So having something that's more downloadable, virtual, is kind of like a sneaky way to make them admit that they need help and they're stepping up and asking for help. But it's also easier to say, like, okay, I'm going through this on my own time. I get to digest it and go at my own pace. So it's an online e-course of 6 weeks of curriculum to help you find your most confident body, your most balanced, healthy lifestyle, and the very best version of you. So I named it Food, Fitness, and Life because, like we have just been talking about for the past hour or so, I have the approach that when you add more happiness to your life, making these health and fitness goals come true is so much easier. So I teach the nutrition basics. I, like I've said, I believe in nutrition. I believe in the power of food. So I teach you that in a way that's easy to implement so that you can go out and live your life and go have fun happy hours with your friends or whatever it may be and know that you're still adhering to your goals. That's really important to me and my clients as, and people who follow me as well. So I go into macros without having to count them, if that's not your deal. Mm-hmm. I go into cravings, blood sugar, indulging, and then I go into life. And I ask you, like, what are you balancing on your plate in life that's affecting your dinner plate?
Right.
So it's video training tutorials that goes through all of that sort of curriculum and a bunch of handouts, cheat sheets, and like trackers to help you stay on track and gain the awareness about your habits and gain the awareness about what food really works for you. I have cheat sheets like an alcohol cheat sheet, a restaurant cheat sheet, an ingredients watch cheat sheet, just things like that to make it all easier. And it really, this is everything that I wish I had back in college when I initially started to lose the weight. I don't think I would have gone through the hell that I put myself through if I had had something like this. Mm-hmm. So that's where that was born.
Awesome. And then you just recently finished the book as well, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. We're in the final stages at the publisher. It should be in stores at the end of June and available for pre-order in the next week or so here, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
It's called To Kale and Back. Ditch the Rules and Learn to Thrive in Food, Fitness, and Life. So you can see the correlation there.
Oh, nice.
But it is a humorous approach to creating the foundation of a healthy body and mind so that you can go out and live your best life as the best version of you. And I found it really important to stay humorous because this is not a light subject.
No.
And for some people, it can cause the judgment and the why am I doing this, like I'm so bad sort of a thing.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that we came at it from the point of like, you're not bad, you are a human, everybody does this.
Right.
Now you're seeing it, so let's make some changes. And I'm also just kind of a sarcastic person in general. So
yeah,
I had to include that in there. So it was actually really, really fun to write. There was times it was really difficult to write just because I was like, I want this to be someone's one-stop shop to getting the transformation, mind, body, and soul that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I believe I did that. I really do. I think that millions of, especially women, but people in general, need to hear what I have to say. I included my story to show you you're not alone. I included client stories to show you, you know, there's a wide spectrum of what this looks like. Again, you're not alone, right?
Yeah.
So it's a how-to guide. Not only are you going to laugh, but you're going to learn how to create that transformation that you're looking for.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important, like you said, to keep the some of the subject matter kind of light and keep that joking slash, you know, funny side in there because, yeah, the things can get very heavy. But one of the reasons why I like a lot of stuff you're putting out there, and obviously we've yet to see the book, but, you know, the e-course and the book, I'm sure, are going to be along the same lines. But
right.
You have really insightful information, really insightful story, but also you're coming with the right message.
Yeah.
You know, and that's huge, especially after what we talked about all these messages we hear in the media over decades and decades. So that's really awesome.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
That's been my driver, is just obviously I'm really passionate about nutrition and fitness, but I just want everybody to be happy. I want you to be the happiest version of you as often as possible. Find happiness even in the bad days, because we all know the bad days are going to stay there. It's just a matter of how you manage them.
Right.
And I think the world would be such a better place, and this sounds so cheesy, if people were just acting as the best version of themselves.
Right.
And that's what I want to give you.
For sure. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and fill everybody in on where they can find you online and social media.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything's pretty consistent. My website is dianamatuzak.com, and I'm sure you'll write that in the show notes because people are going to be like, Matuzak, can you spell that?
Right.
And my Instagram is Diana_Matuzak, and then my Facebook is Diana Matuzak Coach, and my Pinterest is Diana Marie M. So all of those areas have blog, they have my Instagram, where I give little shorter tips than my blogs, my Pinterest. I have other people's sources like recipes or workouts or things like that. Yeah, all sorts of places to find me.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll obviously include those in the show notes. So if anybody wants to check the show notes and just click on those, they'll find you straight away.
Perfect.
Yes. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time out today, Diana, to come on the podcast.
Yeah, it was so fun. I'm so excited I got
really
to do this with you. Thank you.
This was definitely an important conversation. I feel like a lot of women, and as well as men, right, will definitely hear this and kind of identify with your experience. So definitely important to hear. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the whole goal, just making people know that they're not alone. And if you ask for help and you admit that you want this sort of, you want to improve your life and be the best version of you, you know, that's a good thing. That's awesome. You're not bad. Let's do it. Let's start right now.
Exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, for everyone listening at home, guys, if you have a quick second, head on over to iTunes and drop us a review. We would love that. And until next time on the Pillars of Health, we will check you out then.